Most gracious, loving Father and eternal God, we come before Thee once more in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And, O Lord, we again give Thee thanks for that sin-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And, O Lord, we ask now that Thou would put the blood on the meeting. We know, Lord, the blood has been sprinkled upon this book. And, O gracious Lord, we thank Thee for this book. We thank Thee for the Word of God. For in this Word, we find the way of eternal life. And, our gracious God, we ask that Thou will open this Word to us this evening. And, loving Father, speak to hearts this night about eternal matters. Claim now the power of Thy Spirit, who might be enabled to preach the gospel of Christ and might be helped to make much of His precious blood. In the Lord's dear name we pray. Amen. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. The words of verse 34 be our text for this evening. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Philip P. Bliss may have had someone in mind when he penned the words of his hymn, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe, Almost Persuaded Christ to Receive. Seems now some soul to say, Go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. I wonder, did he have in mind King Agrippa when he penned those words? That man who was challenged by the prisoner Paul as to what he knew and believed about the gospel. Paul said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Acts 26, verses 27 and 28. Agrippa had listened to the preaching of Paul. He knew the truth about himself. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew the truth about Christ. He knew that he was the Savior from all sin. And as a result of this, he said to Paul, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. If he was almost persuaded to be a Christian, then it could be said of King Agrippa that he was not far from the kingdom of God. Almost persuaded, almost persuaded to receive Christ, almost persuaded to enter into the kingdom. Because to enter into the kingdom is to become a Christian and to enter into Christ. He was almost persuaded to believe. Almost persuaded to receive the Lord. He was not far from the kingdom of God. These words may also be used to describe that governor, Felix. Another man who had come under the influence of Paul's preaching when that the apostle was a prisoner. Because one day Felix sent for Paul. He sent for this famous prisoner to hear him concerning faith in Christ. Just imagine this man, Felix, who was as ungodly as they come, wanted to hear Paul, wanted to hear him preach, and wanted to hear him regarding faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, of course, was never a man to give up an opportunity when it presented itself for him to preach the gospel. So he stood before Felix, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. When he had finished, we read these words, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He was almost persuaded. I believe with all of my heart that Felix that day was not far from the kingdom. After all, he had trembled. He listened to the preaching of Paul as Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Yea, in the original it is the judgment to come. And as he listened to Paul preaching, this man trembled. It was a man that was not easy to make this man tremble, but the Spirit of God through the preaching of Paul made him tremble. The gospel message Paul had preached had hit the mark, and Felix trembled with conviction. And he should have claimed Christ there and then as a Savior. With the gospel message ringing in his ears, and the Spirit of God dealing with his heart, he said to Paul, Go thy way for this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. He was almost, but not quite. Almost, but not fully convinced. He was standing at the door of heaven. He was near the kingdom of God. Then he turned away and said, Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. You read the book of Acts, a convenient season never came again. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. We could say of Felix, Felix, thou art not far from the kingdom. I can think someone else these words might be directed to. Think of the man who is simply known in the Scriptures as the rich young ruler. One day we are told he came running and kneeled to him, that is, he kneeled before Christ. and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, those were encouraging signs. The Lord Jesus was passing by that way. And this young man took the opportunity to go and meet with the Master. And we're told he ran. He could see the urgency of the hour. He ran and he kneeled down and he said, "Good Master, what must I do? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" My, you don't hear many people talking like that today. You don't hear many people asking the question, "What must I do to be saved?" You don't often hear people say, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" My, if you were to talk to them about those things, they would run a mile from you. So there were encouraging signs regarding this young man. They went on to tell the Lord Jesus that he knew the commandments, which he said he had observed from his youth. He had been brought up well. He hadn't gone astray as a young man, but rather he had known the gospel. He knew the commandments. As far as he was concerned, he had done all to observe them. Can't blame a man for that. But when the Lord told him to give up his riches and his possessions and follow him, that he was not prepared to do. It is evident that his riches and possessions were his God. Even though he said he kept the commandments and observed them, even though if he observed the commandments, he must have felt that he loved the Lord with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul. But he didn't really, because he loved his riches more. He wasn't prepared to give up his riches. And then we read, he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. He went away. He was so near the kingdom. He was almost persuaded. He was almost there. Then it says he went away. Not only did he go away, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was not far from the kingdom. My, whenever you read the story of that young man, you just feel as if you wish you were there, as it were, and try to carry him into the kingdom. He was so near. Of course, you can't do that. Maybe it was this young man that Philip P. Bliss was thinking about when he penned the words, "Almost persuaded now to believe." Almost persuaded Christ to receive. I wonder, are these words true of someone here tonight? You have on a previous occasion been almost persuaded to be a Christian. You wanted to stay behind in a meeting and get right with God. You've been near the kingdom. You've only had to have taken one more step. Maybe of you, it might be said even tonight, thou art not. That is true. I just ere this meeting closes, that you will be all together in the kingdom, having received Christ as your Savior. As we consider these words tonight, I cannot help but notice this man and his curiosity. Wherever the Lord Jesus went, wherever he went preaching the kingdom and declaring the gospel and presenting men and women with the claims of the gospel, great crowds followed him. Mostly they were made up of those who were sympathetic to the Lord and his message, but always, always there were those around him who were not so sympathetic. Indeed, they always had those around him who were his enemies. His declared enemies. And numbered with his enemies, you would always find the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the elders. And here they are again. Find them here in Mark chapter 12. They'd always be ready to try and trip the Lord up in his words. They always were out to find fault, to see what they could find wrong with the Lord Jesus and his ministry. Look at verse 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. That's what they were about. Oh, they weren't interested in hearing his message. One occasion, the Lord Jesus went into the house and there he ministered, and there's a great congregation of people there. And we're told the Pharisees were there. We're told the Lord's power was present to heal them. But then we have the Holy Spirit's commentary on the Pharisees. And it says of the Pharisees, they were sitting by. It's all they were doing, just sitting by. Just watching and observing. And wondering if the Lord would say something that they could bring against him. Here they are again. And they bring their questions to him. Look at verse 18. The Pharisees, there they are, the Sadducees, verse 18. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say, there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, want to try and catch him out again. Now it's the turn of the scribes. Verse 28, and one of the scribes, scribes were there also. It appears that this scribe came to him out of curiosity. Other scribes were there, but this man was one who stepped out from the rest. Here in verse 28, we notice his interest. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Notice this man's interest. There were, of course, others there who were not so interested in the Lord and what he had to say. I have no doubt. As the Lord Jesus stood there in the midst of a great multitude and company of people, there were those who passed by on the other side. I have no doubt there were those who didn't show any interest whatsoever in the Lord or this stranger of Galilee. They didn't want to know anything about him or about his message. They were completely uninterested. Just like many in this town tonight. There are many in this town this evening, and they couldn't care less about what is going on in this house. They don't care that Christ is preached here and His Word is opened here, and the issues of eternity are presented to men and women. They don't care. They say those things don't interest me. And so they pass by, as it were, on the other side. They have no interest in the message of the gospel. They have no interest in their need of a Savior. They have no interest in eternity and how to claim heaven and how to avoid hell. But here we have one exception. In the person of this scribe, here's an exception to the rule. He is one who is interested in the things of God. Why else would he have made his way to the side of the Savior and asked this question? Pharisees were there to trip him up, so were the Sadducees. But this young man, I believe, was different. I believe this man had a genuine interest in the Lord and what He had to say. Maybe someone tonight, looking at this young man, recognizes themselves. They see themselves here. You're not like the majority of people who would say today, oh, keep your Bible to yourself. Keep your religion to yourself. Don't talk to me about Jesus of Nazareth. Don't speak to me about Calvary. I'm not interested in those things. You're not like that. You're not like that. And I praise God for that. And if you're not like that, then thou art not far from me. Because this scribe was different from the rest. And he wasn't like the others. And the Lord said, thou art not far from the kingdom. You have an interest in the gospel. You do want to know how to be saved and how to prepare for eternity. And thou art not far from the kingdom. Notice not only his interest, but also his impression. We're told in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well. Of course he would answer them well. The Lord Jesus has all the answers. For bless His name, He is the answer to all our needs. But the scribe was impressed. He was impressed at how the Lord Jesus had answered those who had come to Him with their questions. He noticed there was something different about this stranger of Galilee. He wanted to know more. Because of what the Lord saw in him, he said to that scribe, thou art not far from the kingdom. My friend, what is it about the Savior? What is it about the Lord Jesus? What is it about Christianity that may arouse your curiosity? Is it the Lord's sympathy for sinners? How sympathetic He is towards the lost? Are you impressed by this? Does this impress you that the Lord Jesus, the one who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, yet at the same time has a love for sinners and has a sympathy? Luke 15, verse 2. says there, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. We're told also in Luke 7:34, the Pharisee said of the Lord Jesus, he's a friend of sinners and publicans. Oh, we know that these comments were made about the Lord Jesus and they were meant to be a criticism of the Lord. But they didn't know that they were paying him the greatest compliment. Because glory to God, he is the friend of sinners. Bless the Lord. He is the one who receiveth. Couldn't get anything better than that. Well, my friend, if that is the truth then, if you're impressed by the Lord and the sympathy for sinners, then thou art not far from the kingdom. But maybe it's something else that impresses you. It's the Lord's search for sinners. You can hardly take it in that one would leave heaven and the splendors of heaven and the glories of heaven and come into this wicked and sinful and evil world in search of lost sinners. My, that is bound to impress anyone who takes time to consider it. That the Lord Jesus Christ come to seek and to save that which is lost. And tonight, if you know and realize he is seeking for sinners and he's seeking for you, then thou art not far from the kingdom. Because the first step towards the kingdom, for a man or a woman to know they're a sinner and to know that only Jesus Christ can save them. Thou art not far from the kingdom. But perhaps that which impresses you most of all about the Lord Jesus is the fact that he was prepared to suffer for sinners. I tell you, it is that impressed me. When I was in my sin, and the gospel story was told to me, and the gospel message was preached to me, how could one so holy come into this world to be made sin for me, that I might be saved? Does that not impress you? Perhaps you, like me, cannot believe that anyone would be prepared to suffer and bleed and die for sinners such as you and me. Bless the Lord, it's all true. Every word of it. And if you believe it tonight, thou art not far. Then I notice also his inquiry. Being impressed by what the Lord had said, prompted this scribe to ask the Lord a question of his own. And there again in verse 28, he says to the Lord, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? As already said, it's good. I tell you, it is good when men and women start asking questions about spiritual things. It's good whenever they start asking questions about eternity and about heaven and about hell and about salvation. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you have a lot of questions you would like to ask. Perhaps you would like to know, how can I be saved? Well, I'll give you the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's how you can be saved. Maybe another question is, but will I be secure? If the Lord saves me, will He keep me? I can answer that question too. In the words of Peter, he tells us we are kept, not by ourselves or by our own strength, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So you can be saved and know that you are secure. But maybe another question that you might have is, will I be satisfied? Will He be able to satisfy me? Will He satisfy my every longing? Well, let's allow Paul to answer that question. The Apostle Paul says, of course He satisfies, because for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is that not proof enough that Jesus Christ satisfies? Because here was Paul, and Paul didn't want to live for anybody else. But for Christ alone, of course He satisfies. He satisfies our every longing. He satisfies and meets our every need. But maybe you have another question. Maybe you want to know, well, if I get saved, will He stay with me? Will there ever be a time that He will leave me? I can answer that too. I'll let the Lord answer. For the Lord Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He said again, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He saves. He secures. He satisfies. And He stays. The best friend, the most faithful friend any soul could have in time. If you know that tonight, then thou art not far from the kingdom. Then we have not only this man and his curiosity, we have this man and his comment. The scribe was further impressed by the Lord's response to his question. When the scribe said, which is the first commandment of all? The Lord Jesus answered him. When the Lord had finished His answer, we read in verse 32, and the scribe said unto Him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. Once more he was. He was impressed. And he said, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. That was his comment. And the Lord Jesus, as the result of this man's comment, the Lord Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom. Now, if the young man if the scribe was impressed with the Lord, in another way, the Lord was impressed. We can use that word. He was impressed with this scribe because he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." When he heard him answer discreetly, you know, as we look at this man's comment, I think the first thing we ought to notice is this: his respect for the teacher. Christ was the teacher. He just asked the Lord a question, and the Lord Jesus had answered it and taught the scribe. And we read here that the scribe said, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth." Notice the man's respect for the Lord. That's a rarity today in the world. But this scribe showed respect because he said, "Well, Master." He called him Master. He gave him his proper name. He honored him by calling him Master. And my, when the Lord Jesus heard this, the Lord said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." You see, it's what we think of Christ determines whether we'll be in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. It's what we think of Jesus Christ will determine whether we're in heaven or hell. What think ye of Christ? The scribe called him Master. Showed respect. Not much respect shown today for the Lord, for His Word, or for His holy name. His name is blasphemed. His name is used as a swear word. And so it was in the days of this scribe. There were those who blasphemed Him. There were those called Him a wine bibber. There were those who called Him Beelzebub, the prince of devils. But this scribe was different. He wouldn't dare use words like that to describe the Lord Jesus. Instead, he called Him. Maybe you're like that tonight. You wouldn't dare take the Lord's name in vain. You wouldn't dare use the Lord's name as a swear word. You wouldn't dare scoff at the Lord or His Word or His people. You wouldn't dare ridicule that Christian that works in your office or works in your factory. Others tried to pick holes in the Bible as the Pharisees tried to pick holes in the Lord's words. But no, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't dream of doing that. My friend, tonight, if that is true, then I can say with the words of the Lord Jesus, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." I see his respect for the teacher. I see his recognition of the truth. Verse 32 again, "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He." And he goes on to recite the words that the Lord Jesus had just spoken to him regarding the commandments. And if this scribe was able to say, "Master, thou hast said the truth," that tells me the scribe knew the truth. He couldn't have responded in this way if he himself didn't know the truth. And of course he knew the truth. He was a scribe. He copied the scriptures. He rewrote the word. In other words, he copied out the Old Testament writings. He was a scribe. Possibly every day he was writing the word. Every day he was in the word. He knew the truth. And when he heard it come from the lips of the Lord Jesus, he says, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth." And when he had finished, the Lord said to him, after hearing him answer discreetly, the Lord said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and you're like this scribe. You know the truth. Where did you learn it? Maybe at home. Maybe your grandmother taught you the truth. Maybe in Sunday school. Maybe in the house of God. Maybe you know the truth through reading the word yourself. Maybe a gospel tract has brought the truth to you. You have a knowledge of the truth. Wouldn't it then be an awful shame? Yea, it would be a tragedy if, knowing the truth, and coming so near to the kingdom, you turn back like Felix. You turn back like the rich young ruler. You turned away from the turned away from Christ only to spend eternity in hell forever. That would be a tragedy. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. For thou art not far from the kingdom. I notice also the rightness of his thought. The thoughts this scribe had about God and about salvation and about the Word, they were right. We read in verse 32, "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." He went a bit further than the answer the Lord gave him, but it just emphasizes the rightness of this man's thoughts. You know, this scribe believed more than what many a minister believes today. For we have ministers today and they don't believe there is one God. Oh, they believe in the God of the Muslim and the God of the Buddhist and the God of the Romanist. And they will tell us, oh, it doesn't matter what God you believe in as long as you're sincere. They all lead the same way to heaven. No, they don't. One God. There's one way. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the one God. And this scribe knew that it was more, you needed more than just to acknowledge the fact there was one God, or there is one God. He knew that God was to be loved with all the mind and all the heart and all the soul. And that can only be done through Jesus Christ. And then he says, this is more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. In other words, the scribe was acknowledging there needs to be a heart work done. You can bring your offerings and your sacrifices, but it'll not change the heart. It has to be something done inside. And that work can only be done by the Lord Jesus. It can only be done by the only sacrifice that makes any difference and the only sacrifice that matters is the sacrifice on Calvary. If you want to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, you must get to Calvary. If you want to get to Calvary tonight, then I can say, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And finally, we have this man and his commendation. The Lord commended him. The Lord Jesus commended him because he had answered him discreetly. What does that word mean? The word discreetly here means, in verse 34, it means with understanding. He answered him with understanding. These weren't just empty words. He answered the Lord with understanding. He knew all about this matter of salvation. And all about the Word of God. He was able to speak with understanding. Notice here the Master. We read in verse 34, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. Now you would think that should read, when Jesus heard him answer discreetly. No, it says when Jesus saw, he said, thou art not far from me. See, the Lord Jesus looked beyond this man's words. He could see his heart. He knew what was going on in his heart. Just as he can look beyond our words and he's able to look into your heart and he's able to look into my heart. And he knows how you feel tonight and he knows how I feel tonight. He knows what's going on in our hearts. And he knows whether or not you are not far from the kingdom. But then there's something else here. We not only have the Master, we have the mystery. You say, what mystery? Well, look at the words of verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. What happened to the scribe? The Lord said, thou art not far from the kingdom. But did he enter the kingdom? Did he embrace Christ? Did he confess his sin? Did he make the Lord his final choice? Did he get saved? I don't know. That's the mystery. King Agrippa, I know thou believest. I know that you know the words of the prophets. Almost, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Did he ever get saved? Will we see him in heaven? And Felix? Why, Felix sat there trembling. He said, Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Did that convenient season ever come? And the rich young ruler, who went away grieved, went away sorrowful, did he ever return? All these men near the kingdom, almost persuaded. Yet we don't know whether or not we'll see them in heaven. Maybe you're almost persuaded tonight. But will we see you in the kingdom? The last words, Philip P. blesses him, go like this. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to feel. Sad. Sad the bitter wheel. Almost. But lost. And that's the moral of this story. You can be almost persuaded. You can know the truth. You can ask all the questions you want. Except you receive Christ, you will not be in the kingdom. Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom. If you're not far from the kingdom tonight, I would urge you in Jesus' name, by His grace, through the working of the Holy Spirit, take that last step and enter the kingdom. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear loving God and gracious Father, we do rejoice the door into the kingdom is still open. We know, dear Lord, like the ark that Noah built, the door remained open until the day that God shut Noah and his family in. Lord, we're glad that the door to the kingdom, the door of grace, is still open. Pray, our gracious Father, that souls will enter in. That indeed, Lord, those that are not far from the kingdom, may they come by thy grace all the way. Be saved, and satisfied, and secure in the knowledge the Lord will never leave them nor forsake them. Write this word upon hearts tonight. Lord, use it to thy glory. Be with us as we leave the house of God tonight and take us, Lord, each one to our homes in safety. And keep us much in prayer these days. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now.